We are happy to welcome to the program, serving in a different body this time around. He is now State Senator Matt Behnke, representing the 8th Legislative District. Good afternoon to you, Senator. How are you?
Good afternoon, Rob. It's just a pleasure to be with you guys and an honor to have it moved over from the people of the 8th District to the Senate. It's a really honor and a privilege, very humbling as well, but good to see you guys. Thanks for having me today.
It's absolutely a pleasure. And Senator's got a really nice ring to it, just in case you were wondering. Senator Behnke, let's start with a couple of interesting bills. The first one, of course, there has been much bipartisan conversation on the police pursuit bills that were passed in 2021 in the legislature. And there's a concerted effort by members of both parties to try and undo some of the damage from a number of those bills. But it seems like in the Senate, Senator Mankra Dingra from the 45th is preventing the Senate version of that bill from getting out of her committee. She's made comments that the legislative body is not the appropriate place to discuss or create laws regarding this issue because it's so politicized. What's the status there? Is there a chance that she maybe is convinced to let this go forward?
I think so, and I think it's sad when you see one senator kind of holding up progress. Frankly, both sides of the aisle, and you said it, people are coming across and trying to say, we need to fix this. We've identified the problems. We see the rise in crime throughout the state of Washington, but even in the Tri-City area, in the 8th District, 16th, 15th, it's incredible what's going on. When we speak to Washington State Patrol, if they can't pursue with limitations, we have to fix the problems that we happened in 2021. And even in that debate, we identified some of these issues. And I don't want to say I told you so, but a lot of those are coming to truth. And we have to get back in there to do this. And to have her hold this up, I think it's sad that we see any kind of leader who doesn't want to reach across the aisle. They just speak. Their actions speak louder than words. We're pushing back. I would tell listeners, we need people to write in. We need to call. We need to stay engaged. Pressure us to get this out of committee so we can get it to the floor. We can air these grievances. We can discuss these issues. This is what the process and why we got back on campus and we fought so hard for the voice of the people to be heard. The COVID lockdowns would have allowed this to skate through and had more problems. But now that we're back in person, he's feeling the pressure, and we need to keep that pressure on.
Now, one of the committee hearings that happened already involved the State Department of Ecology, and certainly it was interesting to say the least when you have a member of an elected representative member on the committee scolding the Department of Ecology and telling them to stick to the facts. Talk to us a little bit about that hearing and what was the impression left on lawmakers after Ecology's testimony?
Well, I'll set the stage for you, and I appreciate you bringing it up, because when you have people of authority in these agencies coming in front of you trying to, and then usually in the first weeks of sessions, we're basically getting people back together. We're getting the information presentations out there, webinars, things like that, to try to get the committees going to these issues we're going to be discussing as these bills come forward. You're looking at fact-based science that we can discuss these issues on. And when you see these agency leadership coming in there and they're literally impugning the witness, telling others non-facts, they're lying straight to our face in different areas, and they're putting conjecture, their own bias into the discussion. We have to call it when we can. Senator Short jumped on the button about a second before I hit the button to try to talk to the chair, and we started a great dialogue of pushing back on that to make sure facts are being discussed. We hold them accountable. We make sure these agencies are telling us what we know are facts and showcasing both sides of these issues. And it was really sad to see, again, how an agency director thinks it's just the Wild West that can get away with things. Especially in ecology, we're having to deal with the planning, permitting issues that are going on in nuclear power, the advanced power, but even housing is being slowed up because of what ecology thinks. They want to push more regulation more standards and things that are out there to help solve the problem. We have way too much regulations that are going on. We need to cut back a lot of these areas. And when you get falsification of the facts, it's exactly what we've seen the last couple of years. You lose trust in government, and we're here to fight for trust back into government, showcase the voices of the people that are being heard.
We're talking with State Senator Matt Behnke, representing the 8th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line.
And Senator Behnke, you know, to kind of jump back to the police pursuit issue, I was reading some of the comments, and I'm trying to remember which, whether it was Senator Dinger or the other senator that's trying to hold it up. And there was a quote from a West Side news source where one of those senators was attributed as saying that people shouldn't be getting so emotional or worked up about crime rates. And there were some other statements made in there that I think we're rather forehead slapping. Do you think there's going to be enough of that pressure, or this is going to backfire and they're going to let that go and they're going to push this bill through? Because I was reading that story and I about fell over.
Me too. And I think it's the same lady, same senator who had made that quote that mm-hmm. you're referring to, because everything I've read, she's been misquoted a couple times, but that's the quote that's been in several outlets. But you're exactly right. I think the pressure is getting to her. Because everybody sees this. People who got elected last November came to that notion that we need to go ahead and fix the problems that are the rising crime rates in our communities, the threats to people that are going on. We can't pursue is actually recruiting a criminal element to the state of Washington that are coming from other states because it's the Wild West. We talk to Washington State Patrol. We talk to local law enforcement. They want to make sure they can determine and we're empowered to go ahead and make that decision of training a high-speed chase, whether it's optional, whether we have other options, we can go after people like that. There are things we can do, but we've got to make sure we have that in our kit bag. We can't have senators calling out and saying, this is ridiculous. Let's stop looking at the facts she was quoted on, and let's stop looking at the science. Let's just see what's happening. I mean, she is going off the deep end.
It sounds like it. I know that. In reference, and this data was from last year, State Patrol said they've had like 1,000 people that drove off. I believe the data was from last summer or fall. They said they've had over 1,000 people just drive off. They've been able to pull them over, but then they drive off and they can't chase them.
They can't. And frankly, because of this and others, we've had a really good relationship. I have personally know friends of mine on the Watch State Patrol and even the Tri-City law enforcement, and they come directly to me. They just see people that they follow. They, you know, do what they can, and they know because they can't pursue. They just take off, and all they do is their hands are tied. They just pull over and go back to their normal duties. And who knows what's going to happen to that crime, because we've seen that trend. If they can speed, they're doing 120, 130 miles an hour coming up from Umatilla on those streets, coming into Kennewick, around Pasco, heading to Spokane, those different areas. It's increasing the rate of crashes, the tragic severity of the crashes, the multiple shutdowns on the roadways. We've seen it in WASDOT and other areas. But, yeah, if you start limiting those, you can start limiting the additional second and third order effects of crime that happens in our communities, the additional things it attracts. And, frankly, it shows in a message to the community that we want our community safe. We want people to know they can walk in our communities and have an opportunity to live the American dream.
We're talking with Senator Matt Behnke from the 8th District here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 at KONA from Kennewick. And speaking of which, Senator Behnke, you have the unique distinction of also having spent time on the Kennewick City Council. I bring that up because recently the Kennewick City Council, in a workshop, made a decision that they were not going to supply water to the Horse Heaven Hills Wind Farm project with Scout Energy. So I want to ask you this question, being that you are on energy. Does what the city of Kennewick said, they will not provide water for this project, does that hurt the project? Does that create a situation that where a local government does actually have the ability to have a say in whether or not this happens? Or is this just something that puts off the state coming in and steamrolling them and forcing them to do it?
I agree with the comments from the council is a right to go ahead and voice the opinions of the city, and even the county stepping in have a right to different levels. But frankly, sadly, the way our state's in and the current governor, it's going to go to your third option there. I think if you keep putting this in place, the FSAC is going to then drive it to the next level and then bring legal action. Sadly, I think that would go from the state coming down to impose overwhelming issues of we have to get the water to the site to do that. I appreciate the opportunity for leadership from the cities, the counties, and others to step up to message this, to show our disagreement, what's going on in our communities, and the voice of the people that are really concerned with what we're doing to the landscape, the degradation of land that's been farmed for years, and even the landscape of seeing the beautiful countryside of why we live in the Tri-City area, the sunsets, the things that have been going on. Sadly, I have to agree with you on option three with the way the state has gone with the governor. Until we change some of the numbers in the House and the Senate, and even the person who sits in the governor's office, we're going to continue to get draconian effect down from the state government and the governor's office.
And Senator, does that mean, you know, if the city says we're not going to supply you the water, do you foresee potentially the attorney general stepping in or legal action, suing the city and saying you will supply the water? Is that kind of the direction? Because I'm kind of trying to put it out there for people so they can say, okay, the city says no, we're not going to help the project. It would really hurt it. Would the state step in using the attorney general and say you will?
Well, I put it this way, John. They would try any effort they can, frankly, from this governor and some of his previous historical actions, to continue with that project. If that means legal action to the attorney general or other means, I'm sure he's going to have his staff working on that, look at which options he can go forward to do to continue to get this project, you know, pushed into our backyard.
We're talking with State Senator Matt Bangy from the 8th Legislative District, Kennewick, here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. Senator, I want to talk to you about a Senate bill. It's a companion for a House bill, 1178. That would give local governments the authority to regulate firearms. It would repeal the statute preempting local jurisdictions from adopting laws relating to firearms. If this were to pass, because, well, as I said, there is a Senate companion bill. If this were to pass, what do you see in your magic eight ball of what will happen in different areas of the state regarding attempts to curb the ownership or possession of firearms in the state?
Well, frankly, this goes straight at an attack at our Second Amendment rights. When the government has to come in, and I'll give your listeners, it's Senate Bill 5446 is the companion to the one you're referring to. Mm-hmm. Restoration of local government authority to regulate firearms by adopting ordinances or regulations related to firearms that are in addition to or more restrictive than the requirements of state law. And especially that last piece should resonate a lot with listeners as well as myself when it says, in addition to or more restrictive than the requirements of current state law, it's just ridiculous. It's going to the Second Amendment, to constitutional rights that this state and this government, this nation has been founded on. And then, frankly, the veterans, myself, combat veterans of a couple tours of duty in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other places, have fought and sadly have died for, try to support freedom of speech, freedom of arms, freedom to do what we as Americans are and what this great country was created for. If we lose our Second Amendment rights, we're going to lose the rest of our rights, and our Constitution's just going to be withering away. This is another attack at getting to that. They're trying every different way they can to come at this. And you saw it with the magazine bans last time. You continue to see it, the limiting. We're seeing AR bills trying to be banning the assault rifle bill, but we can't even find a definition of what they think AR really means. And these other bills that are really unconstitutional, and this is a big attack on our constitutional rights.
You know, Senator, you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned the end around thing, because I'm thinking that, say, for example, Hackney, I think he's a House rep. He's doing the House version. He is from Tukwila, and he cites several communities over there where they say that gun violence and crime and rampant and all that. I would imagine that if a community tried to do an outright banned, that would have an issue with the Second Amendment. But do you foresee any of these communities perhaps flirting with that, maybe? Because I don't think over here this is going to be as much of a big deal. But do
no.
you see, instead of, you know, and you've mentioned the end round and kind of the frog in the pan of water, but could you see any of those communities trying to test the water and saying, okay, we're going to ban guns altogether?
That's exactly it, John. We've seen this in the past from historical ideas. People try to test certain things in the state of Washington, maybe from the city of Seattle. City council will run a bill, or they'll actually do an ordinance just in Seattle, and nobody really sees anything, or it's really rolled out quietly. Then all of a sudden, it trickles out to Tacoma, maybe Pierce County, maybe King County, and then we see it just showing up in the Capitol. And then it's, we got to have this statewide or else, because see how great it's going on in Seattle? See how well it's doing to support people's rights in King County? And then you look back at those numbers, you're like, this is failing across the board. Why should we put this across the state? And we've seen that in the magazine bans, or even other areas of the 8 cents for our bags in grocery stores, and a straw, eliminating those things. They all start in that same kind of area. And this is another one. So to your point, I agree. I think somebody's going to test this. There's going to be legal actions. And if we don't have people standing up now, it's going to continue to matriculate across the board. And we're going to be, frankly, ended up having to defend our own county by county and city by city to ensure that we have elected officials at each level that can fight back against some of this end arounds that are going on across the state.
And Senator, one more quick mention on that bill. I would anticipate, judging from what I've seen happen in the past, I would anticipate that if this goes through, you are going to have a lot of county sheriffs that are going to say, we're not going to enforce this.
Right. And what's great about this, I'm really good friends with our county sheriffs, sheriff's departments, again, law enforcement from the chief of police from each of our cities. We've been on board with this. We're tracking with their lead government liaison offices, including themselves. They have my personal cell phone, and I get texts. We text a lot between the three or four of us. And when these bills come down, we're in concert of what we're doing, how things are going to be implemented. And frankly, I'm proud to support our blue. I'm proud to support our law enforcement who stand up, have a backbone, and say, this is ridiculous. We're not going to do it in our county. We're not going to do it in the 8th District.
We're talking with State Senator Matt Behnke, representing the 8th District from Kennewick. And Senator, one of your bills that has been filed, you're sponsoring Senate Bill 5167. Of course, we talked a little bit earlier about the Horse Heaven Wind Farm Project, FSEC, and this bill that you have filed and that you are sponsoring does have an FSEC component to it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning this. 5167 is trying to eliminate a lot of the processing of alternative stuff with solar, wind in that area, but it forces the idea to make sure we do have opportunities for local review. I said a ton of times in there to make sure whether it's short-term or long-term goals of the state, whether it's Department of Ecology, Department of Energy, or really any siting agency that we look at, we have the voice of the people that are in there. Whether it's insuring different sites, we got to make sure we understand the difference between the solar wind facilities that are out there, and literally using words, legislator intends to create parity among different types of facilities by prohibiting solar wind facilities sited on agricultural lands of long-term commercial significance from being eligible for expedited review. So it forces it to go into that longer process to ensure that we have the voice of the people. People can write in, people can testify, you can follow it through that process, you can come in person to have your voice heard in hearings. And I heard that a lot throughout this process with the Horse Heaven Wind Farms, that people feel like the government doesn't listen to them, that we've turned our backs on our community, our ag community, our farmers that have reached out to me. I've frankly sat in a lot of meetings with local leaders and local activists who are concerned about what's going on with this project and future projects. They are heard loud and clear. That's why this bill resonated a lot with me, to ensure that we have that voice in each one of these opportunities we're doing it. And frankly, a lot of these other bills, when we're talking about transmission corridors, we heard that bill yesterday and others. One of my first options is have the voice of the people been heard in these discussions, in the planning of this bill, and how much can we continue to work to ensure each and every one of our constituents have a voice in these processes that are out there?
Senator, are you aware of any green energy projects like this being under development or going through an FSEC process on the west side of the state?
None.
Okay, just checking. Just wondering if maybe that needle moved a little bit, but I'm guessing it's a big no.
That's a big no.
Fabulous. Fabulous. So it's good to know always that equity is that they talk about so much is not being used at all when it comes to these projects.
And also, Senator, right. You know, the Energy Site Evaluation Council has a lot to do with where these projects and things wind up. And is there any movement or is there any appetite for this in the legislature among the Republicans or yourselves to try to do some things with this council or maybe take away? Because I know that these are appointed people, but it seems like they're the almost like the Inquisition, the Site Evaluation Council, like they're almost untouchable. What's your thoughts on that?
That's exactly right. People are looking at even, you know, from the governor's office down, from you hear about Department of Ecology people who testify in committee with falsifying data. We have to hold them accountable to bring them back down to have a balanced checklist. They're transparent on what they do. They're accountable to the people. We're reporting back to them. And so there is an appetite to change some of the roles and responsibilities in there and to make sure we have it changed enough to where we could still have an expedited process and go through that. And don't get me wrong, we need to have one. But we got to look at how much of that is getting out of control. And I think everybody agrees this has gone way too far to where they have way too much control of what they're doing without the voice of the people.
And Senator Behnke, want to bring this up as well, because we know that there is now a more open-mindedness to nuclear. Are there anything being discussed at the state level about nuclear? We know that the small modulars, I believe, going to Grant County, and so it will be in Eastern Washington. But is there anything being discussed to go further in exploring nuclear energy for Washington State?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up. With the governor's announcement actually backing with his budget, the Washington State University Tri-City campus of being the future where we can educate and workplace of what new energy and that clean energy we see from cleanup to clean energy. There's a lot of movement, probably more than it has been in probably 10, 20 years about pro-nuclear ideas in the state. We've seen alternatives for the small modular reactor to advanced nuclear projects. I can let everybody know next week we're actually having our first energy day. We're going to host up here next to our Tri-City Day on the Hill, where we're going to showcase the great things about the Tri-City area, and including small modular reactors, advanced nuclear projects, green hydrogen, the clean tech that we're coming with it, plus the education, the supply chain. A lot of different areas that have come together from the great part of the 8th District and the 15th of what we can do here. So there is a movement going that way. We have a couple bills that we're going to see that are changing some of the names in the energy strategy so it allows more for nuclear power to be a part of the option, which we're all for. And then that clean energy future of ensuring that when we're siting projects, they're closer to where the demand is needed. And so when you see that piece of permitting siting, we don't need the long leeway time. We can have a small modular reactor closer to where the demand is, like Seattle, the South Puget Sound, and some of these other areas that we need to go to.
Senator Matt Behnke, representing the 8th Legislative District from Kennewick, thank you very much for your time this afternoon, sir.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it, and I know we'll be talking to you again before the session is over.
Definitely. Looking forward to it. You guys call. Let me know anytime. We want to keep you up to date. This is a lot of things moving across the board. We want to keep in touch with the people there and appreciate what you guys do.